640 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. The mayor of Davenport, Iowa, says five people are still missing after Sunday's partial collapse of an apartment building. CBS's Adriana Diaz speaks to former tenants who say the building has been falling apart.
There have been repeated complaints about the century-old building. These women, who own a business on the first floor, say they'd filed at least three complaints in 7 months. This caved-in ceiling was just part of their troubles.
No heat, water leaking in two different spots. Cracks in the walls.
The bipartisan debt limit agreement advances out of the House Rules Committee and moves to the House floor, where a vote is expected tomorrow. CBS's Skylar Henry says a group of House Republicans is lashing out.
Speaker McCarthy should pull this bad bill down. We should stop taking this bill up right now.
The compromise deal that would raise the federal debt ceiling and prevent a historic default is facing vocal opposition from hardline conservatives. Leaders of the GOP House Freedom Caucus lashed out against the agreement Tuesday.
This bill canonizes post-COVID spending levels brought to us by Joe Biden and the Democrats.
Scientists and tech industry leaders warn that humanity is at risk from artificial intelligence. They're calling for an immediate pause on AI systems for at least 6 months to take stock of the risks. Dan Hendricks is the director of the Center for AI Safety.
Malicious use, potentially this is evolutionary, potentially they'll become sentient and end up having some goals toward power. There's a variety of possibilities, but some might just be concerned about malicious use, which is enough to treat it as a concern for extinction.
A former Charles Manson follower could leave prison. CBS's Matt Piper with more on Leslie Van Houten, who was 19 when she participated in two Manson family killings in 1969.
A California appeals court says she should be let out of prison on parole. That reverses an earlier decision by Governor Gavin Newsom to reject parole for Van Houten in 2020. She's been recommended for it five times since 2016.
A new survey by Emphasis Digital Risk shows that about 66% of young Americans go online to check the value of their friends' homes and measure their own income. Emphasis founder Jeffrey Taylor.
56% of these people also are trying to figure out if this should be a time that they should buy. So I think what this data really shows us is that, you know, as far as owning your own home, it is still front and center as the American dream.
North Korea says its attempt to put the country's first spy satellite into orbit has failed. The statement says the rocket carrying the satellite crashed into waters off the Korean Peninsula's western coast. South Korea's military says it has salvaged some of the parts. This is CBS News.
Need hires who dazzle without the hassle? You need Indeed. Their powerful platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Hey, everybody. How we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Direct from the Dairy States, it's Sharp Cheddar Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joe Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, the Cripescast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. You can enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn thing. Sharp Cheddar Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app.
It's great to be here to speak directly to the woke mob.
The liberals have basically made up this whole agenda that guacamole is made of avocados. It's not the truth.
Ticked off, tee off, this is it.
Scoobity boo boo. Scoobity doo.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
How comfortable would you be having treatment from a nurse, registered nurse, nurse with a lot of experience, but that nurse didn't have any oversight from an actual physician? 844-967-2789. And would you be fine with it? Is that basically a lot of times the care you get anyways, is you normally just see a nurse or a nurse practitioner, or, you know, is that something you'd be comfortable with as long as you got treated? Or is it still very important to you that the nurse has an MD basically monitoring and having final say over the treatment you're getting from a nurse? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Jane Madnair, how comfortable are you with? Because I feel like a lot of times anyone who works in hospitals, they all say that, like, nurses run the show.
Without a doubt.
They are the ones who know more about the patients. They see more patients. I think they basically see more people in a day.
They probably spend more time with patients.
Yeah, and I think there's running jokes I've seen as far as, you know, like the first year resident ever trying to override a 20-year
nurse,
veteran nurse, and like how long, like, do they live to see another day? I don't know. And so to a certain extent, it seems like a lot of times nurses are kind of, especially tenured nurses, really know what they're doing. Yes, they didn't go to med school, but experience is experience, and you've seen a lot of things. And so should they be in lieu of physicians retiring, labor shortages, and trying to make healthcare more accessible and more efficient, should we let nurses practice, get special licenses to be able to practice without necessarily needing sign off from an MD?
Well, it's not like they're going to do surgery in the office.
No. No.
And personally, I have a physician's assistant.
But a physician's assistant is different than a nurse practitioner,
true,
right? Because that is a different tight, that is an additional, it's like half of med school, right? It's like 2 years instead of 4 years. So there's physician's assistant. How I always understood the hierarchy, there's MD, physician's assistant, nurse practitioner, registered nurse. Is that
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY, if you can help us with that hierarchy.
Yeah, because in the world of healthcare, titles tend to matter.
Oh, yes.
And a dispute over how to classify nurses with advanced degrees in Wisconsin has many of the state's healthcare groups at odds, because lawmakers are now renewing a push to grant licenses to advanced practice nurses that would allow them to treat patients without physician oversight. And so this was an article that came out from WPR on Friday, and it just caught my eye. I feel like as the conversations between, because we're kind of seeing this as a pattern across industries, as far as like teacher licenses and apprenticeships versus needing to get a degree.
Right.
And how do we help meet demand in different industries when we have a labor shortage, but the labor shortage is a skilled, trained, sometimes life or death industry where we need more efficiency, we need more doctors, we need more nurses. But what is the trade-off between, I don't want to say we're lowering standards here, but to a certain extent, because one of the sticking points of this bill right now is the amount of time required to be able to get to qualify for one of these licenses would be 2 years or 4 years. And so if it was only two, that is obviously a different quality control than 4 years. 844-967-2789. How do you feel about being treated by a nurse who would not have any MD physician oversight? We have a message from on the Facebook Live. Depends on the concern, but I'd be okay with it. I had a friend in med school, and I'd get her thoughts on something to see if I should be concerned about something and get it checked, or if it's likely to sort itself out. Those are the best kind of friends.
Hi, can I get your completely free medical advice?
Yes, yes.
While you're in med school?
The Dr. Mike, for anyone who remembers our football segments from last fall, he is a psychologist. His husband is an actual MD, is an internal medicine doctor. And the amount of times I have texted Scott saying, hey, what is this?
Oh, really?
Yes. Well, they live in Colorado. But yeah, basically every time there's something going on, I'm like, Scott, what should I go see this? Or what do you think this is? What's your advice? And he's also a much more risk averse person. So it usually ends up like, go ask it someone who can see you in person.
but that's very much like the telehealth that we're doing, and
yeah,
you know, it's not far off. But I would think this would certainly help out in rural communities.
Yeah,
big time.
Yeah,
big time.
And so, a little bit more background on the debate. Groups who are representing nurses are making another push to create a new license for advanced practice registered nurses who perform many of the same services as physicians. So, not surprisingly, there's different doctors groups that are opposed to this, but they're more open to it now than they have been in the past and are starting to work in an actual compromise, because this has been proposed before. Actually, it's passed before, but Tony Evers vetoed it in the last session, citing a lack of agreement in Wisconsin's medical community. But nurses are saying that the debate has taken on new urgency as a wave of physician retirements and an aging population has led to shortages of care, particularly, as you just said, Jane, in rural areas.
Yeah, they're hurting.
And so basically it would be a new license for advanced practice registered nurses, or APRNs, in Wisconsin, and about 8,000 nurses would qualify. And so while it spells out a variety of requirements people would have to meet for a new license, at its core, nurses who testified at a recent public hearing on the bill say one provision is key. It would mostly lift a provision in current law that requires advanced practice nurses to maintain oversight agreements with physicians. And they were saying that the oversight agreements are more than just an annoyance. Due to doctor shortages, they say it can be hard to find physicians to sign oversight agreements at some clinics, particularly in rural Wisconsin.
Sure.
So should a doctor suddenly leave or retire, They say it can threaten a nurse's clinic. Some doctors also charge fees that nurses argue are either too steep or unnecessary. And so I guess I go back to my question, like, depending on what the treatment is, are you comfortable having this be your access to healthcare of seeing a nurse who doesn't necessarily have an oversight from an MD? And I would say on basically anything that has to do with like urgent care, I would.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with this at all. I really don't. And again, it's not like these are people performing surgeries in their office for the most part. If it's something that requires that, you are recommended then to go to a specialist. Because we're just talking about general medical things.
Yeah. Well, and I'm trying to think about the every most physicals I ever have. Like, why can't that be a nurse instead of a doctor? And I feel like this is, I don't know if it's a no-brainer, but as far as the providing more access and not needing sign off on certain things. And I don't know, like I'd have to learn more, I guess, about what the care that is in debate as far as what's the threshold. But yeah.
But I mean, it's for diagnostic purposes primarily, right? You go to your doctor with a sore throat and they look at your throat and they take a culture and they test it and see if you have strep or, and again, if there are further steps required past that, they're going to recommend you go to a specialist.
And I guess the question is, what happens with prescriptions? Because I think a physician assistant can prescribe medicine. Yes,
I'm almost positive.
I don't know if a nurse can. So, and maybe that is what needs there. That would be what the ability of like the oversight happens. It's like the nurses can then prescribe treatment from like medication and physical therapy, and like they're using their, instead of just taking the symptoms, they're also then prescribing
meds
or something that may be the limitation of what they can do now without sign off from a doctor. And so I don't know. I mean, this kind of makes me feel like this would be a step in the right direction as far as like just making it a little bit easier and letting people get help faster. But I also understand like it's a slippery slope of, like I said before, of like teachers' assistants becoming teachers, and like in the attempt to get more people in the pipeline to become any of these professions, do we lower the standards, or are the standards arbitrary already? 844-967-2789. Would you be okay with being treated by a nurse who does not have any doctor's oversight? 844-96-PARTY. We'll keep it going when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
The issue with Milwaukee schools, just not enough high quality schools.
Weekdays 11 to 2.
You can talk about everything else. You can talk about the funding. You can talk about school choice and for it or against it. But there's not enough Hope Christian schools. There's not enough St. Marcus schools. There's not enough Kings. There's not enough Reagans.
And until we fix that,
Milwaukee public schools really isn't going to change.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Hey, Dan Kelly, you went around the state saying there had been fraud and the election should be overturned. You did that. You took $120,000 in pay from the Republican Party, not in a donation, pay. The most recent payment was in December, and we don't know if you're still being paid. And you've been endorsed by some of the biggest election deniers in the state. And you're shying to me with, I don't know how I'd rule. I know how you'd rule. I know how you'd rule.
Matt Flynn Direct, weekday afternoons from 3 until 4. On the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows dip down to about 60 overnight under partly cloudy skies, southeast winds around 5 miles an hour. Slight chance for scattered storms tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 87. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 63. Partly cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 68 degrees.
From Five Points and beyond, from Southeast Wisconsin and to the world, this is The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And we are talking about a new proposal to basically allow up to 8,000 nurses in Wisconsin to provide treatment without the oversight of a doctor. And this has been kind of an ongoing debate for a while, but it looks like this is the closest it's getting to potentially passing through some sort of compromise. And, you know, this is probably a good example of what this would look like. So this is an article from WPR that covered the story last Friday. But Terry Van Houten, who's been a family nurse practitioner for 27 years, which is a very long time.
Yes.
And was a registered nurse for another 13 years. So I think that answers our question. If she's now a nurse practitioner and she was a registered nurse.
Practitioner is a step up.
Is a step up. So there we go.
Texter from the 541 says nurse practitioners can prescribe medications.
Okay, they can.
Registered nurses cannot currently.
Got it.
Generally speaking. And by the way, if you want to check in anytime, you can call and or text the same number, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY.
So at Terry's Rural Family Practice Clinic in Franken, she said that she performs wellness visits, physicals, and treats patients with a variety of chronic conditions from diabetes to depression. She uses diagnostic testing, including lab work, to prescribe treatment ranging from medications to physical therapy. And despite her experience and her expertise, she has to pay $1,000 a month for a physician oversight agreement.
What?
Yeah.
$1,000 a month?
Yeah. And she says, typically I spend less than 1 minute per month collaborating with my designated physician about a patient issue. And typically it's needing his signature on a patient's form, a patient he most likely has never met.
Boy, that's a really good deal for $1,000.
Good work if you can get
it.
Yeah,
no kidding. My goodness.
And it's interesting because then I would have to imagine that she passes that on to patients as far as the embedded cost into care.
How on earth can you justify charging $1,000 a month
for a minute of work?
For a minute of work. That's criminal.
It's super interesting to see that like that's how it works. It's basically like it's just this regulatory fee, this regulatory red tape that actually doesn't do
anything. And who sets this price?
I think they can set it. And what would be interesting to think is if you can shop around as the nurse or the nurse practitioner for your practice, can you shop around to different doctors and like shop for prices of like how much they're charging for their oversight.
Why not?
Authority.
Why on earth not?
Because yeah, if there's no standard price, if like this is what it needs, this is what it costs. It's just anyone being, and especially if there's any, on top of that, the physician has to be in like X amount of like distance from your practice. And so then that's because like, I would imagine maybe if you're in the Northwoods, you probably can't have a physician in Madison. It would have to be someone who's
closer
there and
that could actually
Rhinelander or Wausau or something.
See the patient if they need to be seen.
Yeah. So I don't know. This is actually something that I feel like the more I learn about it, the more I'm like, yeah, this kind of seems dumb.
That this isn't already in place.
That this isn't already in place. And so I put this up as our show poll today. And so far, the three options were, so the question was, how comfortable would you be seeing a nurse with an advanced license without any MD oversight? And 29% said very, nurses run the show. 16% said not at all. And then 54% said depends on the treatment. So that's a little vague. Yeah. Probably should have asked the question a little differently.
Room for a lot of interpretation there.
And so yeah. So I don't know. I think it's interesting to just see what big of a change would this actually make.
And again, I think the biggest issue is in more rural areas, yeah, which are having a lot of problems getting and attracting doctors and nurses the way it is.
But so, it sounds like this bill is bipartisan.
We getting along again in Madison? What on
every
earth
once
is
in a while?
On?
Well, we'll see. Because we are at noon. We are going to be talking to Representative Evan Gwaeke.
I'm so excited.
Who was also on Earl's show today? So
he
big
was.
Big civic media day for yes. Mr. Evan Gwaeke. But this is first. It's his first time on As Goes Wisconsin with me in the big chair. Because I think he came on when Dan Schaefer guest hosted while I was on my honeymoon.
I believe you're right.
But this is the first time I will have the chance to interview Evan Gwaeke. I have talked to him before, but he can probably point to the ways that we're not getting along in Madison.
Because it's throwing me off. Seriously. It's like a bipartisan what?
Well, this, you know, that's why we highlight that every once in a while things we do can agree that like, oh, this is a problem because it is, this bill is mostly backed by Republicans, but it also includes some Democratic support, which I think makes sense. And nearly 30 groups have reported lobbying on the plan, a high number for a proposal that was formally introduced less than 2 months ago. So this actually looks like it might have some legs and could move forward. And I think it might be a good thing. And so yeah, but if you have thoughts on this, 844-967-2789. Otherwise, when we come back from the break, I'm going to do my best to try to break down what agreement President Biden and Speaker McCarthy have come to as far as the debt ceiling. And in my opinion, this is how deals should be done. No one's perfectly happy. Both sides are kind of complaining because no one got everything they wanted, which is what negotiations typically should look like. And so we'll go through some of the key takeaways of what is in the bill. Obviously, it still needs to get voted on, but at least we've one step closer to not having a financial crisis. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
Sometimes the truth hurts, but in a good way.
That's all you had to say.
This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Demolition of a partially collapsed Davenport, Iowa apartment building was expected to begin today before word that five people are unaccounted for and two may be inside. Mike Collier's cousin is missing.
I believe we need to just come together to strive to stop
them for tearing down this building until we find our loved ones.
The debt limit agreement reached by President Biden and House Speaker McCarthy could come up for a full House vote tomorrow. But Republican South Carolina Congresswoman Nancy Mace insists,
this is not honest with the American people, and then it does not do what we've been told that it does. It's wrong, and we should vote it down.
Experts and leaders of tech companies warn that humanity is at risk from artificial intelligence. Dan Hendricks, director of the Center for AI Safety.
We're in fact saying that it could end the human race. We're not talking about the current ChatGPT models or anything like that. We're talking about potential future versions of AI.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Civic Media promised you something big to celebrate our new and still growing network of radio stations. When we announced the one-day million-dollar advertising giveaway for Wisconsin businesses, you responded.
Just wanted to echo your sentiments about the advertising. That's really a cool deal and really remarkable.
$1 million of free advertising. Now, if you missed this chance to work with our team, go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. One of our local sales pros will get right back to you. Civicmedia.us and sponsorship.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Mettner. The first couple beats of that song, I thought you were playing the like Oscars music, and I was like, "Why? What connection is she making right now?" But this is we make a deal.
It's from Let's Make a Deal.
Let's Make a Deal.
Yes, and the old game show.
The old game show, and we have apparently it seems like a little bit of a breath, but over the weekend it sounds like President Biden reached a deal with the Republicans on the debt ceiling. And so that's a good thing. At least we have it. At least we have something to move forward with.
Work off of
and vote on. But, you know, just as a reminder, as a refresh, if you have not been watching this story with bated breath like so many, you know, our default deadline was June 5th, which is soon.
It's really soon.
Which is really, really soon.
Yes, really soon.
It is a week from today.
Exactamundo.
Which actually is a reminder, a week from today, we will actually be in the last half hour of the show. Because as a reminder, as of Monday, June 5th, this show starts at 10 a.m. instead of 11 a.m. and will wrap up at noon, which is part of the Civic Media shakeup.
Little restructure.
But also June 5th. The default deadline.
Yeah. Coincide.
And so, you know, Biden and the Democratic lawmakers wanted a clean raise to the debt ceiling with no budget changes, but that was never probably going to happen because Republicans, who obviously control the House, said they wouldn't get anything through unless Uncle Sam tightened up at least some of his purse strings. And so now the two sides have agreed to suspend the debt ceiling until 2025, pending approval from both chambers.
After the election.
After the election. That is a good key point.
Yeah.
So what is in this deal? Figured we kind of would go through some of the major parts of it. Give our two cents. If you have thoughts on this, we would love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. If you've already been following this and you like this deal, if you hate this deal, who won?
Was there a winner?
Is there a winner? Are we all winners just in case that we don't actually default on our debt? 844-96-PARTY. Who won this negotiation? But as we go through it, if you have thoughts on specific line items of the deal that we have so far, feel free to join us. 844-96-PARTY. Text, call, or comment on the live stream. So the first key takeaway, as we just said, it raises the debt ceiling until 2025. And so it gets us through the next election and basically kicks the can down the road till we get to do this all over again.
Per usual.
Per usual. But that was always Biden's top priority. He really could not afford an economic disaster to unfold as ahead of his already pretty dismal approval rating,
yeah,
and trying to get reelected. And so the extension means Congress will have to deal with the debt ceiling again, won't have to until after 2024, which, you know, could, it's a, they only had the, as of right now, Republicans only have a 5-seat majority. Senate Democrats only have a 1-seat majority. So come 2024, it's kind of a toss-up as far as who, all three chambers of, like, who's going to be in control of what. But at least for this year, if this passes, we're good for another 2 years. So a lot of the debate, the next key takeaway, a lot of the debate has been over discretionary funding and capping it and all the things that go into that. So there is going to be a spending cap for the next 2 years. So discretionary funding versus mandatory funding. Mandatory funding is like Social Security, Medicare, a bunch of the military,
right,
budget. And that stuff that's just like, no matter what is in there. That was Rojo's big idea, was moving Medicare and Social Security to discretionary funding instead of mandatory funding, so that it gets debated
every
2 years.
Can you imagine?
You just not know what your health insurance is going to be on. Yeah. So the deal caps annual discretionary spending for 2 years, keeping non-defense spending levels flat next year and raising it by 1% in 2025, which we'll see if that keeps up with inflation. So this means basically that funding for programs across the board, basically anything besides Social Security and Medicare, will just stay flat for the next year. But it's potentially a win, I would say, in the Democrat. I mean, if we want to play it like that, because originally Republicans wanted 10 years of annual spending limits. And that's a long time.
That is a long time.
But the deal did set 6 years of appropriation targets, but that's different from the 2 years of the caps, because the targeted spending levels aren't really enforceable.
So we'll just shoot for this and see what happens.
Yeah. And so, but the good thing with this is that it does include funding increases to improve medical care for military veterans.
Good. Because that was a big concern.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
They were talking about 22% cut, which would have had
huge,
devastating effects on our veterans.
Well, and so it actually seems like this is so far a pretty good, pretty good deal for veterans. Because in the next key takeaway, there's also a stipulation for that's good for the homeless and veterans. But that is something that we're familiar with because we talked a lot about this with the non-binding referendum we had in Wisconsin last fall. But there will now be new work requirement changes for food stamps and other aid. And that was a big sticking point for Republicans, although they didn't get everything they wanted with this. There are, so for SNAP, which is food stamps, and there's going to be new work requirements for eligibility for that program. So now most able-bodied adults up to 54 years of age would have to look for at least 80 hours a month to get help. So right now it's 49. Now it would be 54.
Okay. I mean, there is this perception that anyone who is receiving aid is sitting on a couch playing video games. I don't know how accurate that is.
I don't know how accurate that is either. Well, and especially those five years. Once
right.
you turn 49, you're like, well, I'm just going to live off my food stamps and not look for work now, even though last year I had to. So now I'm going to play the video games.
I've been waiting for this.
I've been waiting for these five years where I can really, really get into it.
Yeah.
Start my Twitch channel. And so then the final agreement overhauls the SNAP program by setting time limits for how long adults 54 years old or younger, got it, without children can receive food stamps. But it's considered a win for the White House because it's going to expand food benefits for the homeless and veterans.
Good.
So
that's good.
But it also it has additional work requirements for recipients of the Temporary Assistance for Needy Family program. But there are no changes to Medicaid, which Biden had put as a line in the sand that he would not support.
Not going to happen.
So that's good. But as Nixie just added to the YouTube live stream, adding bureaucracy in any of these social programs always limits how much help they can deliver.
Well, and it certainly complicates things, right? It's just a complicated process. It's like we continue to make complicated processes more complicated.
Yes. Well, and that in and of itself is a deterrent from actually seeking
the help
that you need, the help that you qualify for. By making it so complicated and making it all these requirements, it's whether it's unemployment, they just wear you down from actually. I remember this because I lost all the work, like all my freelance and all the stuff that I was making money from. And in California, at least, when everything first started for COVID, I remember trying to navigate the system. Because at that point, freelancers were going to be for a short time.
Right.
We're going to be able to qualify for unemployment, which usually they're not. And I remember granted, I was living with my parents' house. I gave up.
Did you really?
Yeah.
It was that much of a pain.
It was that much of a pain. And granted, this is a pretty privileged statement to say. And so I know what I'm saying. Because I had moved back to Wisconsin, or at least for the time being, before I had made the decision that I was going to move back for sure. I was living in my parents' house. I had some savings. And I was like, this is so convoluted. And trying to prove like what I had been making as a freelancer and like all of this different stuff. And I was like, and I'd only been in California for 6 months at that point. So even trying to then get my tax returns from New York. And I was like, how do people do this? Like, I'm not dumb, and I just, like, this is so complicated. I don't want to spend my time doing this.
And again, one feels like this is by design.
Yes.
To just wear you out, and you give up.
So the next two I have issues with, because if the Republicans were so worried about the deficit, you'd think that this wouldn't be a hard line for them because it's money that would actually increase revenues. If it was a deficit, because they want to cut spending, but if they really wanted to attack the deficit, I don't know if these two things would be sticking points for them. And yet, this is part of the concession. So the first one is clawbacks on some IRS funding. So if you remember last year with all of the
misused?
The 87,000 IRS agents who were coming to get you.
For you, specifically.
For you. They were going to audit you specifically and your hardworking dollars, not the billionaires and millionaires who are evading taxes. This deal is going to reallocate $20 billion of the $80 billion that the IRS had been we're going to get in new funding. So now they get $60 billion. So there's $20 billion back. But because, you know, this was meant to crack down on wealthy Americans and corporations that are evading taxes. But the fear tactic of them coming after you seemed to have worked. And just a reminder what the tax gap is. So the difference between the amount of taxes owed and what is actually collected has jumped from in 2011, it was $441 billion per year. In 2019, it was $584 billion. And over the next decade, it's estimated to hit $7 trillion. That's the tax gap. That's money that is owed to the government that because there is such a backlog and there is such the IRS is so under-resourced that there's a whole bunch of money missing. So if you really cared about the deficit, wouldn't you be like, maybe we should get the money that the government is owed?
What, and expect their donors to pay their fair share in taxes? What planet are you living on?
Which brings us to the next point. Again, if you were really cared about the deficit, wouldn't you maybe think, hey, that thing that we passed with Trump that added the most to the deficit ever, maybe we should roll that back.
Bring that back a little bit.
But no, we will not be doing that. No taxes on wealthy or on any wealthy people or corporations. You know, Biden wanted to increase revenue by rolling back former President Donald Trump's 2017 tax cuts on the wealthiest Americans and corporations and ending tax loopholes, but it's not going to do that.
We got to protect our wealthy, at all. Kristen. They're a rare species who are struggling.
Struggle bus.
Terrible.
All right.
I gotta wait for another year for my.
We got two more takeaways. We got two more takeaways from what's in this bill. We'll talk about it on the other side. If you have thoughts on this bill and this agreement, who won? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. And we'll be right back.
Ray Magliozzi here for eBay Motors. So you ordered a new air filter for your car. You try to install it, but it doesn't fit. So you take a little bit off the sides. But still doesn't fit? Well, you could try to sit on it. Or get it right the first time with eBay Guaranteed Fit. When you see the check, you know that part's going to fit. Air filters, brakes, headlights, over 122 million parts. Get the right parts at the right prices. eBay Motors, let's ride. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
So much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside. I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa.
Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows dip down to about 60 overnight under partly cloudy skies, southeasterly winds around 5 miles an hour. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow, slight chance for scattered thunderstorms, daytime highs approaching 87. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night, slight chance for scattered thunderstorms, lows dip down to about 63. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Hite. Currently, it's 68
on
degrees.
On air, online, on your smart speaker, and on the Civic Media app. Give us time. Soon we'll be broadcasting directly to your brain. This is The Shaw.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Medner, and we are finishing up our key takeaways from what to know about the deal that was struck between President Biden and the Republicans over the weekend. And now they are going to vote on it this week. But the last two of the major 7 points, I think, that I identified was it's going to rescind unspent COVID-19 rescue money.
Okay.
So the deal would cut about $30 billion in unspent COVID relief money. So that would take money away from several federal programs, including rental assistance programs and small business loans. So basically, if you haven't spent it yet,
they're going to take it back.
You might lose it. Which, I don't know, doesn't seem like the end of the world.
I'm just wondering how convoluted that process is going to be.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And who's going to oversee, you know, who's going to oversee? I'm sure it won't be messy at all.
None of this is ever messy.
No, it all works perfectly
It's always,
fine.
You know, it's always like, oh, we're going to do this. It's like, how are we going to do this?
Shh, don't tell them. We don't know.
But then the last, I think, win for Biden and Democrats is that both the Inflation Reduction Act and student loan forgiveness are left intact.
Wow.
Yeah, which I'm kind of surprising because
I'm surprised the loans made it in.
I'm surprised both of them made it in because those that seemed like were I know the working requirements for different programs was high on their list, but I really thought trying to attack the two major pieces. Well, one was legislation, one was an executive order. But the White House did indeed succeed in keeping intact the Inflation Reduction Act and the student loan forgiveness program. And so, yeah, so those are kind of the big takeaways. And at least what I could read so far is the left generally supports the deal but criticizes the GOP's negotiating tactics. The right generally supports the deal, but some are arguing that the spending cuts do not go far enough. But now it becomes like the Freedom Caucus versus there's a center left caucus of about 90 Democrats that I think have said they will sign this as is. And it seems like the Democrats are mostly just upset that they were completely cut out of the negotiation process. And like the White House wasn't like communicating very
right.
well.
Right.
But the House is expected to vote as early as tomorrow before sending this legislation to the Senate. And as is, McCarthy needs almost every House Republican to vote to get the bill through unless some Democrats sign on. So now I guess we'll see.
And it will be interesting to see what happens with Speaker McCarthy's speakership.
If anyone uses that new power to just have the one soul to step up and say, we're gonna kick you out of that seat.
I don't like you anymore. Bye-bye.
And I don't know. See, and the way I stand on this is a healthy negotiation. Granted, you know, the rhetoric around this as far as you have to pay your debts. Like, this is like, these are conversations around the budget, but like, this is, it's such a, this is such a stupid, dramatic cycle that we go through, as the fact that we even have this as a, like a negotiating chip every 2 years to hold the whole country hostage. Not only the whole country.
The global economy.
Like the global economy hostage.
Oh, yeah.
Based on, you know, political whims is dumb. Is really, really dumb. And, but the fact that like they actually negotiated, they actually got to a deal, no one's perfectly happy, is what I feel like this should look like in the end.
That's what compromise is.
So we'll see if it actually gets passed. Seems, people seem confident.
Let's hope so. Let's hope so. There'll be a wrinkle, but I think it'll get passed.
What's your prediction on what the wrinkle will be?
Paul Gosar is going to set himself on fire under the Capitol steps or something. Who knows? It's going to be one of those people. One of those.
Matt Gaetz.
Sure. He's too vain. He would never set himself on fire.
That's true. That's a good point. In other news, did you know that Wisconsin had a birthday yesterday?
I did not. I didn't get anything.
You didn't get anything for Wisconsin?
No.
Oh, my gosh. You are a bad friend.
I am a bad friend.
But happy belated birthday, Wisconsin.
How old are we?
We are 175.
And looking darn good.
Well, someday. It depends on the day.
Yeah. It's the lighting, Kristen.
It's the lighting.
When you get to be 175.
In these days, the lighting these days, magnificent.
Yes.
The weather over the weekend.
It's perfect.
These are the days where Wisconsin looks just wonderful. Other times of the year, other times, you know, figuratively, 175 doesn't look as good as Wisconsin.
Maybe in January. Okay.
But yes, we are 175 years young. And we officially became the country's 30th state in 1848.
Okay.
And the first Wisconsin Constitutional Convention was convened in October 1846. The first draft included the right for African American men to vote, permitted married women to own property, and allowed for state banks. This draft was rejected by voters in 1847.
I was going to say, wait, what?
But
we were progressive even back then.
There were some progressive people
who didn't want us to be that way.
Yeah. But yeah. And so it was kind of funny. Todd Albo was talking about this on his show, that there wasn't a lot of fanfare. And I don't know if it was because it fell on Memorial Day, but I feel like in times where we turned 150,
it was a thing.
It was a much bigger celebration. And the, like, granted, I'm trying to do this new thing on the weekends where I stay off my phone and actually take a break until I like have to be working. So not just scrolling through social media and all the time. And
right.
So I was not as up to date, but even with the little bit that I did, like I didn't see much posted as far as happy birthday, Wisconsin.
No.
Charlie Behrens, I don't think, did a video.
Wow.
Oh, missed opportunity. But
we'll make it up to Wisconsin next year.
But that, I don't know. That doesn't roll off the tongue as well. 176. But yeah, and so I actually now have to look it up because I tweeted out this morning, and Greg actually said it before. We've been talking about making shirts for, it's the, oh, this one's now called something different. Terquacentennial. Wait, I thought it was a demi-semi, I don't know. There's mixed signals on what this anniversary is called, or it's, birthday is called.
It's 176th.
No, it's fifth.
Oh, fifth. I'm sorry. I'm aging her.
All right. When we come back, Representative Evan Goyke will be here. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
We'll be right back.
Engines with Luke and Brian.
Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
So here we have Jim Troupas, Dan Kelly, we got Michael Gableman, and the question is accountability, democracy, freedom. Are we going to let these forces who are hostile to democracy continue to try to take over our state? They may spout the value of freedom, but they don't want freedom.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Weekday afternoons, 2 until 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. A no-holds-barred political conversation. That's Matt Flynn Direct.
This is a scam, and Tucker Carlson is one of the guys. He's one of the guys who said the election was stolen, Dominion voting machines are no good, on the air, but in the background, he's going, this is insane. This is a load of bull. The guy lies for a living. He lies with a straight face.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.